This is Tony Wiggins with the Jacksonville Jaguars report here on Locked On Jaguars. This thing might need to be torn apart, especially if the Jacksonville Jaguars don't close the season out looking like a team that is on the rise. And lately they've looked like a team that doesn't have a clue what it seems like to be rising. And some people, and I understand, they're at the point where they're saying, no, let's not make it look good, because if you make it look too good, then that might give people the idea that we need to keep everyone. Most of the fan base in this city, even though they're pretty much sympathetic for Doug Marrone and to a certain degree Dave Caldwell, really want this thing rebooted. They think it starts with Tom Coughlin, but you don't stop there. If you're going to do that, you might as well start it all over. I can't much say I blame them, since, for the last 6 years, this organization has had to put up with constant losing, and the fans are tired of getting blamed for it. And I would be tired of getting blamed for it as well. There's no reason why. And let me address that, too, because some people think when you say that, folks say, I've seen some former players say no one's blaming the fans. Hogwash. Hogwash. When you look at the overall standing of this franchise, and when you look at the overall mindset and the thought of people, whether it's national folks or media people, and I don't try to give them too much validation because it is what it is, but it seems like every single time there's a conversation before it gets really bad on the field, every single time there's a conversation about Jacksonville, it's always about what the fans need to do and why the team needs to play maybe even another game overseas. And you know, it just, to me, it just makes no sense that needs to keep coming up when if the team would win on the field, then you wouldn't have an issue with having to play a game somewhere else. You wouldn't have an issue with constantly talking about revenue. If the team wins on the field, you'll see fans coming out of the sewer to buy tickets to this game. If it's a consistent effort where this team is constantly contending, and you know that every single time you come to that stadium, you're going to set yourself up to have a 75% chance of leaving happy, then all of this stuff fixes itself. That's why, in my opinion, anytime this franchise or anytime anyone associated with this franchise opens their mouth, and the first thing that doesn't come out is how it's about accountability and how they need to improve on the field and do better at the job that they've been doing, then anything that they say after that does not matter to me. At the very least, if you're going to talk, if someone asks you a question about economics and you start talking about economics, at least at some point smile and say, you know, we could do a better job ourselves of putting a better product on the field and giving them something to cheer for, and we wouldn't have to worry about fans coming. But it never does. And I think that's the problem. That's the serious problem. And here's the thing with that, too. Some of those people are the very people that people need to get run out of here. And they're the very people that constantly keep talking about fans and keep talking about all of this other stuff except their record on the field. You notice something here? This blame culture always goes to either the fans or the players. Or somebody's being a baby. Or somebody's immature. Or somebody's a POS. Or he's not playing well now because you gave him the money. Do you realize that's what happens? And there's this chronic, or there's this epidemic, if you will, of this narrative that pits players against fans and fans against players and fan groups against players, and nobody cares about us. And the players sitting there, you know, the witch doctor of all of this stuff is, the witch doctor of all of this stuff is losing. And in every walk of life, sometimes except football for some reason, we never want to cut the head off or blame the head for the dysfunction that we see every day. I tell you, man, yesterday I made tried to make a case because I was playing devil's advocate for Dave Caldwell. Well, I think a case needs to be made on a Locked On Jaguars podcast for the fans and for a total reboot. And if you tune in today on Locked On Jaguars, that's exactly what you're going to get from me. I'm going to talk about rebooting, and I'm going to talk about how you do it and what would happen. somebody has to offer solutions and not just be complaining all the time. So that's what I'll do. I'll go out on a limb and do that. I'm definitely going to do it, and I'm definitely going to tell you guys exactly who and what I do. Of course, I made a podcast a couple of weeks ago that I go big, I go egomaniac. Well, let's just assume you can't get Nick Saban to leave. I don't care if you offer him $12 million. He ain't leaving Alabama, even though you would think he's proven everything he could prove in college, and you want to give him one more stab at the NFL, and you got a bevy of draft choices. It's not as if he says no, it's a loss. It's a win if somebody gets wind that Shad Khan flew to Tuscaloosa and made Nick Saban an offer of 5 years at $60 to $65 million to be this coach. Do you know what that would do? And Nick Saban says, no, I'm not interested. Cool, you're not interested. But you know what that would do to the fan base? The fan base would go, oh, so he did swing for the fences. So he didn't go get another Gus Bradley. So he didn't just promote from within. So he didn't just put Todd Wash in a position he's never been in. Yeah, that's exactly what it'd do. So let's just assume he says no. Let's just assume Josh McDaniels is trying to wait out and be the head coach of the Patriots. When Josh McDaniels, just assume that McDaniels does the same thing that he did last 2 years ago when he basically agreed to be the head coach of the Colts and then decided to, he didn't want to do it, and he went back to New England because everyone thinks that he's going to wait for the Patriots job. So let's assume all that and you don't get these big guys that you want. I'm going to give you a plan, and I'm going to tell you why I think that plan would work, and I'm going to do that in just a second. All right, welcome back to Locked On Jaguars. This is T-Wig. I wouldn't say welcome back because I know you didn't go anywhere. I know you listened to our friends tell you about who they are in that last little bit of a break. So what would I do? First of all, before I explain to you what I do, I tell you what I think needs to happen and what I think needs. I think there needs to be just an absolute total change of attitude. I think you need to see flat-out aggression. I think you need to see flat-out on defense. We saw a little bit of it in 2017. I think you need aggression. I think you need guys who've done it before. I also believe that you need innovation on offense. You need fresh blood. Lately everyone's gone to the old, tried to go to the Mike Shanahan tree, or I'm sorry, the Kyle Shanahan tree, or which is the Mike Shanahan tree, or they tried to go the route of anybody who, you know, the joke is anybody who's ever shaken McVay's hand out in L.A. has gotten a job. I think sometimes you can overdo things a little bit. So I'm going to go a different direction. And I'm actually tapping to another tree that has been tapped into a little bit. And it's going to be in an unorthodox situation. So most people say, well, I want a head coach that has defensive experience. Cool. Or offensive experience. Cool. That doesn't mean the team's going to be good offensively or good defensively. When you get a head coach, he has to hire the right assistants. And I'm hearing an awful lot about Greg Roman. For what the Jaguars have here, unless you're going to go get Jalen Hurts or somebody like that, Greg Roman is a fabulous offensive coordinator. I think he's really good at adapting and doing things a certain way with what he has. And everyone looks at Lamar Jackson and they remember what he did with Colin Kaepernick. You don't have that here in Jacksonville. So we're going to operate from the standpoint of they're going to move forward with Minshew and maybe some sort of restructured deal with Nick Foles. Let's operate from that perspective, okay? Because as much as people keep talking about it, I don't think they're gonna cut Nick Foles. I don't necessarily believe you go out and give somebody a third round pick to take Nick Foles. Doesn't matter how much money he's making because basically the money's he's already got it. It's guaranteed anyway. So I mean, you basically be selling a draft pick to save a few dollars. You're not going to save that much money on the cap space, although you can make a June a June 1st designation or post June 1st designation, which will break the dead money up between the next 2 years. But let's just assume that whoever is out there probably likes Nick Foles a little bit better than the fans do who've seen him in the last 3 or 4 weeks, and doesn't really like Gardner Minshew as much as the fans do who've seen him in the last 3 or 4 weeks, because all these guys care about is tape. They don't really care about a lot of the other things that, you know, we care about. Like, you know, the coach isn't going to worry about how enthusiastic someone was, or the coach isn't going to worry about, you know, all of the pop culture stuff. That's not how they operate. They don't deal with that. That's cool, but they don't deal with that kind of stuff. And I think a lot of times fans think that that's too ingrained in what goes on here. So I'm going to focus more on coordinators. But I think you have to get things that match, because I think a lot of times what we've seen in the past is we've had too many things where people are trying to put square pegs into round holes, especially even amongst the staff. They Doug Marrone had a staff. He had some guys. He had some Coughlin guys. He got rid of the Coughlin guys. He brought some other guys in. It just doesn't seem like everybody's always on the same page. So I think they try. And I think sometimes when we say it doesn't seem like everyone's on the same page, folks look at you when you say that as if it's some sort of attack on someone's character, as if they're not trying. That's not what I'm saying, and I don't think that's what a lot of people say. So first I'll tell you who I like if you can't get that big fish that I talked about. I'd hire Mike Pettine as the head coach. And I know you're like, what? He failed in Cleveland. Look at his record. Look at Cleveland's record when he left. They were awful. Bad ownership. But I think what Mike Pettine has shown you in Green Bay, with the way that he can take pass rushers like Za'Darius Smith and Preston Smith, a Mike linebacker like Blake Martinez, who is a free agent, and I'll mention that too, guys like Kyle Fackrell who are backups but can really play, how he's mixed things up in the front, and how he's gotten guys like Jaire Alexander and those guys on the back end to really play in Green Bay. So what you see is sometimes when you see Green Bay play, you'll see six guys up front that all look like they're the same guy. And you'll see them standing up. You'll see two down linemen. And you'll see four or five corners in the game. And then one hard-hitting safety in the middle. That means to me that he's not subscribing to just a base defense. He's using his personnel, and he's using those guys, and he's getting the most out of them. Preston Smith has double-digit sacks. The Redskins let Preston Smith walk after taking him in the second round out of Mississippi State about 5 or 6 years ago. Za'Darius Smith and Preston Smith might be the best 1-2 duo in the NFL right now in terms of quarterback pressure. That's because of Mike Pettine and Mike Pettine's propensity to do things a certain way. Where did Mike Pettine learn to do that from? I'm glad you asked. A guy that he coached under, who's currently available to be Mike Pettine's defensive coordinator, Rex Ryan. When I think about Rex Ryan, and that's who I would, that I promise you, this is, listen to where I'm going. When I think about Rex Ryan, here's what I'm thinking about. I'm thinking about Josh Allen, Yannick Ngakoue, getting a restructured Donovan Darius and a restructured Calais Campbell to come back, play limited minutes with those two guys, get the best out of Taven Bryan, figure out a way to use that physical ability of Miles Jack. And in the draft, the two players I would target in the draft with the two first-round picks the Jaguars have, and hopefully the Rams will keep losing, although it doesn't look like Dallas is going to be able to stop them, and they're probably going to win one or two of those last games against Seattle and San Francisco. But here's what I do. I would absolutely target Derrick Brown from Auburn with the Jaguars pick, especially if they keep losing down the stretch. They'll have a chance to get Derrick Brown, a 6'5", 315-pound, whatever technique you want him to play out of Auburn, and Grant Delpit, the safety. Grant Delpit out of LSU. You remember Rex Ryan, Ed Reed. You think about it. That's what I would do. I would hope this will be on my plate now if I'm sitting there, because I know a lot of things have to happen. But the reason why I'm offering this up, because everyone makes all of these bold and blanket statements without really telling you exactly what it is that they would have in mind. And even if you don't get all of this stuff, what you can do is have this in mind and use that as a baseline, and then you'll get the next best guy. You know, you take the next. If you can't get Grant Delpit, take the Henderson kid out of Florida who plays corner and get your safety later. But at some point, you have to get these big, mean, nasty guys. But you got to have coaches that have big, mean, nasty dispositions and get the best out of them. So I franchise tag, by the way, Jan, if I couldn't reach a long-term agreement with him. So this is what you'd have. This is the kind of stuff you'd have. And this is just a thought and an idea. And I'm just throwing this out in the wind. This is a thought what you'd have. You'd have two young edge rushers who are standing up now in a 3-4 or a hybrid in Yannick Ngakoue and Josh Allen, a head coach in Mike Pettine that believes in the philosophy of his defensive coordinator because he coached under him and he comes from his tree in Rex Ryan. You'd have rotational guys of Marcel Darius, Calais Campbell, figure out a way to get Taven Bryan involved, a young cat like Derrick Brown who's going to start out of Auburn. You'd have studs in your front seven. Not to mention in free agency, Blake Martinez is going to be a free agent. I don't know if they'll go out and spend that much money on a linebacker. But you also have coaches that would understand how to use Miles Jack, whether it's a traditional Mike or an inside linebacker position. Because you have two guys on the field that play in the middle of the field in a hybrid or a 3-4. But you'll have them figuring out ways to use them, whether they're just lining them up in the A-gap or shadowing running backs out of the backfield, whatever. If you can't get another middle linebacker, then there's some guys. There's Joe Bocci in the draft, kid out of Michigan State, that can really play. There's the Mac kid up at Virginia who runs like the wind and can hit people and come downhill. But you'll now have coaches that understand what they want to do and how they identify players and how they want to play. And it will personify Jacksonville, man. Just attack people. Just go after it. And fans will love it when they come to the stadium because they know, hey, it's about to be a dogfight and they're going to throw everything in the kitchen sink at these people. What do we do offensively? Because that's where we struggle. I'll tell you what we're going to do offensively as soon as you listen to what I got to tell you about my friends over at MyBookie. All right, friends, let me tell you about MyBookie, man. This is what you need to do, especially when the weekend comes. It is absolutely time for you to get some money instead of just sitting around eating chicken wings and watching those games and not getting paid, especially when you're right all the time. All you have to do is join MyBookie right now, and they will match your deposit halfway, all the way up to $1,000. That means if you deposit $2,000, you get an extra $1,000 in free money to play with. How do you do that? Well, when you go to MyBookie.ag, use the promo code LOCKEDON to activate the offer. Once again, the promo code is locked on. My book is where you play, you win, and you get paid. Look, I do this all the time. I do it all the time, and I have a great time. There's no other place for you to go if you want to bet on games and win you some money, especially if you're the kind of fan that knows football so well. You can know any game, and you could call it how it's going to go. Why are you not getting paid? Why are you not at mybookie.ag using the locked on promo code to activate the offer of getting half of your deposit matched with free money? Do it now, my man T-Wig. That's right, mybookie.ag. All right, so we talked about rebooting. We talked about changing the attitude. Before you can proceed in motion, you have to understand your emotion. You have to understand your mindset, and you have to understand where you're going. So everyone's throwing all of these things out there without offering solutions. So I'm giving you something today. You ain't got to go buy it, but at least it's a baseline of how I think you should approach the offseason and naming some guys that I think would really, really ignite the franchise, especially when you consider the type of talent they have and the draft choices they have to get more talent. Offensively, what would I do? I would understand that I would look at any and every free agent, maybe not a big money free agent because I know the team is going to be strapped with cash. Who can help me? Who can be better than the guys that we have now that's not going to cost me a lot of money? That could rotationally help me until I go into the draft. It's a very, very heavy draft with left tackles early in the first round, but I've already allotted those picks to someone else. This is where you have to go into the second and third round, and you have to find Teron Armsteads of the world. You have to find those guys that can play, that have played a lot, that have a good body of work, that understand. And usually that's like going to Iowa, going to Wisconsin, going to Ohio State, going to Alabama. Alabama's going to have a whole bunch of guys drafted. Landon Dillon is eligible to get drafted. He played guard and tackle at Florida State, and then he transferred to Alabama, and he's been one of their better offensive linemen playing at center. You're going to need a center. Jedrick Willis, he's their right tackle at Alabama. Leatherwood. Leatherwood's probably going in the first round. You could probably get Willis in the second round. But then you say, Wig, who's gonna call the plays? Let me tell you who's going to call the plays. And this is a guy that everyone keeps talking about that won't leave where he is because he's a commodity. They're not going to let him go. They're not going to let him go. Nobody's going to hire him in college because he doesn't have head coaching experience. He does have NFL experience. I would go to LSU and I would hire Joe Brady to come to the NFL. And you're saying, wait a minute, just because LSU's doing good, Wig, doesn't mean he can do it in the NFL. He just stopped coaching for Sean Payton with the New Orleans Saints. What do you mean he can't do it in the NFL? That's where he came from. He hadn't been at LSU all of that time. He was in the NFL with Sean Payton, another guy from a coaching tree. I would make Joe Brady my assistant head coach slash offensive coordinator so you could pay him a little bit more money. I would get him out of college. I would bring that young, innovative mind that learned under one or two of the best that finally has LSU playing offense the way LSU's always dreamed of playing offense. And I would make Joe Brady, who's a passing game coordinator, a specialist. I would name Joe Brady as the offensive coordinator for the Jaguars. And I'd say, whatever you got to do with Gardner, whatever you got to do with Nick, I don't care what you do with them, but I want you to make them make these wide receivers look the way you make Ja'Marr Chase and those dudes look at LSU. I'll address the wide receiver position again in the draft. You address the offensive line. You have extra draft picks. You get tight ends. You get a change of pace back. You tell Joe Brady, this is your offense. Now, Joe Brady, if I was you, what I would do is Bill Callahan, who's the assistant head coach, the interim head coach up in Washington right now, he ain't going to keep that job. They're going to find somebody else. If I were you, I would then go and say, hey, Bill Callahan, why don't you come with that experience and help Joe Brady and help me get this thing rolling? So I'd make Bill Callahan the offensive line coach. I'd retain Joe DeCamillis as the special teams coach. I would also keep Keenan McCardell as the wide receivers coach. And then I'd fill those other positions in accordingly based on relationships and people that understand how I run offense. So now here's what you have. You have Mike Pettine as the head coach who's thinking aggressively, who's an accountability guy, who probably has earned a second chance to be a head coach. He has his former mentor, Rex Ryan, running the defense where you're going to be totally, totally aggressive. You have a young mind, a young quarterback developer in Joe Brady, who coached under Sean Payton as your offensive coordinator. You have Bill Callahan, a longtime guy who's been a head coach, who understands and who gets it, who can really, really help Joe Brady move along as the offensive coordinator. You've retained what I think are your two best assistants in DeCamillis and Keenan McCardell. You've loaded up on draft picks. So one last thing I do. I got all these extra draft picks from next year. I got two extra first rounders. I got other picks. I call the Washington Redskins, and I'd say within reason, and it probably includes a first round pick, within reason, what can I give you in addition to that first round pick that gets Trent Williams up off your roster and makes Trent Williams available to come be the left tackle for Jacksonville? So you've added guys, you added one or two professionals in free agency. You add one or two guys in college, the Landon Dickerson types. You add those guys to your football team, you know, the John Simpson types up at Clemson, the big road graders type. You found you a late round tight end, maybe like a Jarrett Pinkney or somebody like that from Vanderbilt. You know, you may add a guy like Shane Lemieux, a guy who you get in the third or fourth round, a big tackle from up in the Big Ten. So, out in the Pac-10 with Oregon, you add four or five different offensive linemen, okay? You may pick you up a receiver who wants to be released or somebody who can still catch balls, a veteran like Emmanuel Sanders, to go with the guys that you already have. And you change the entire complexion and direction of this franchise. So there, I did it. I didn't wait till the offseason to do it. Everyone's always talking about reboot everybody, but who you going to get? Those are my suggestions. Listen to it. Tell me what you think. Send me your suggestions back. I thought it out a little bit and wanted to give y'all some stuff to look forward to for the weekend. Chargers come here this weekend. And I wanted to give you this before that game happened, because if they lose, you're going to need this to listen to Sunday night. If they win, you might be tempted to start saying what if and try to start keeping everybody. So that's why I wanted to throw this out there for this weekend. 4 o'clock game this weekend against the Chargers. We'll see you. I don't know if you want them to win or not. I think you want them to play well. If you're a Gardner Minshew fan, you probably want him to win, so you can say, I told you he shouldn't have been on the bench. But Friday edition, have a safe weekend. Locked on Jaguars. We'll see you guys back Monday.